This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Man, there's been so much going on today. We'll get you caught up on the latest with the Braves as the opening day is underway, at least around Major League Baseball. Braves on the road, their opening home opener, should I say, is next week. We'll be out at Murph's. We'll tell you more about that. Also coming up this hour, Mark Raimondi is going to join us to talk about the Falcons. Frank Schwab will break down all the things going on around the NFL as well.
Yeah, no news on Aaron Rodgers, by the way, in the last 24 hours.
I don't think there will be, Mike. I think he's going to wait this out. I know it sounds crazy, but I think, again, what is his rush if, in fact, he still feels like he could potentially end up in Minnesota? Again, those rumors are out there. We'll talk with Frank Schwab about that. But, Turtle, before we went to the break, you brought up the fact that we had some breaking news with the Falcons who have signed a guy at a position that we've talked a lot about. Fill us in.
Yeah, according to multiple reports, Mike Garafolo of NFL Network leading the charge. The Atlanta Falcons have signed German-born kicker Lenny Krieg to a multi-year contract, including a signing bonus. So what does that mean for the future?
A kicker?
Younghoe Koo.
With a signing bonus?
Yep.
I'd say adios, yo, Younghoe Koo.
So we talked about this, Mike. Koo is owed, is it $5
million? $5
million. Which, again, okay, understand this. There's a lot of money for a kicker, okay? Not saying Koo didn't earn it, but they paid him accordingly. He made a lot of kicks and has made a lot of kicks.
He was a great kicker for so long.
But he missed the most kicks, field goals, this year of anybody in the NFL. Now, you could say, was he injured? They knew more than we did. Some people even blame the coaching staff for allowing him to even attempt some of these kicks, Mike, because they knew that he was not 100%. Either way, I'm kind of happy right now, because this is a position that we have to get right. We cannot go into another season and have doubts about our field goal kicker, who's been good for a long time. And I know some of you are like, well, it was a bad year. You bring him back. Not at that cost.
No, man. You got to renegotiate. He's got to come back for less money. Remember, guys, you lost the Chargers game because he missed a field goal. You had no confidence in him.
Saints.
Which would have created a game-tying field goal to win the game. But the Saints game is the one that really sticks in people's minds. Missing 3 out of 4 cost you that game where things really went south. He's on the hook, as Carlos said, a $5 million cap hit. He's under contract until the end of 26. And the kicker game is the mental game. We talked about Matt Bryant. Matt Bryant went through the same thing Koo did in Tampa. They got rid of him. Comes to Atlanta, has an unbelievable career.
It's great.
But we've been very blessed for the most part with our kickers. But I'm sorry. It's, I don't know how you feel. What have you done for me lately?
No.
He cost us games. I cannot afford that. And then again, if you're not right, he also, if you add it all up, the fact he couldn't be on the field cost us the Commanders game because we had a bum in there whose range was like about 40 yards.
Did you say bum?
Bum. You know, it's like throwing a football with your left hand. That was the range of this guy. So, you know, that's the thing with Younghoe Koo. couldn't stay healthy. And then there was times where he had the hip issue. Look, if you're on the field, I expect you to make those kicks.
Yeah, look, Lenny Craig.
Krieg. That's Lenny Krieg.
By the way, he...
Kind of like the Kriegsmarine.
He apparently really wowed people, both with a personal workout and through the pathway to the NFL program. He went 15 for 15 on
through kicks. The international program.
Through the international.
Also played for the Stuttgart Search, Carl Dukes.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did. Look it up.
No, he did not.
He actually did.
Lenny, and again, for everybody saying, and this is why we're talking about this, you guys don't know anything about him. I've not seen him kick once, okay? But they have, and they've done their due diligence and scouted and sent people to see these workouts. And to Turtle's point, he has impressed the Falcons enough to do this.
Now, I'm not kidding you. He actually played in a form of organized football.
Not in Stuttgart.
He played for the Stuttgart Surge in 2023
and 2024. I lived in Stuttgart. Come on.
I'm reading this right now from Pro Football. Krieg was a soccer player before watching YouTube and Instagram. He learns how to kick in American football after his older brother returned from University of Wisconsin. Excited about the game, Krieg kicked for the Stuttgart Surge in 2023 and 2024, to Chris's point, before joining the NFL International Player Pathway and then nailing his audition.
All right. And Stuttgart is not – it's not the biggest city in Germany, but it's pretty accurate.
It's where they make Porsches.
I just showed Carl the Stuttgart Surge team website.
Yeah. Well, look.
They're the real deal.
I'll ask about him when I go over there in later this year.
Lenny
right?
Krieg. Time for you to – you know what I'm going to get you for your
– I'll ask about
You know
him.
What I'm getting you for your birthday?
What's that?
A Krieg jersey.
Well, let's hope he can kick, first of all.
And according to the report, by the way, a little more info, he was signed by the Falcons with a lucrative contract and a signing bonus because there was competition for him.
Okay.
So they had to pony up.
So somebody else wanted Lenny Krieg.
And by the way, we're not saying that – obviously, we've heard nothing about Koo's situation. This doesn't mean that they've released Koo or
No. And we don't know what the market for Lenny Krieg was. They might have signed it for $1 million.
Correct. We have no idea. But the fact is, this is competition. That's all we know.
Which you and I have been saying they need to do.
They got
to
do it. They got to do it. So that, to me, is good news. You know what's funny about all this? It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 Game. We're live at Twin Peaks, guys. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. On a Thursday, we're getting ready for Sweet 16 action. We'll talk more about that coming up. But Buffalo Wild Wings, where you can buy one, get one boneless wings on a Thursday. Everything that they need to address, I think they've tried to, Mike.
Right.
It may not be the guys we want. We're talking about free agency. Some of that is just simply we couldn't afford it. But this wasn't the top of the list, right? But it was something they needed to do. And so to find out about this and that we're actually going to have some kind of competition going on, it's great. Right. But they're trying to address all these things. And there was a lot, guys. You know, you say, what's the most important thing that we need to do this offseason? Well, obviously it's Kirk Cousins and how you resolve that. But it's not on their timetable. So now we just got to wait this out and see how they figure it out. But everything else, Mike, they've tried to do. We need to go get some help on the edge. We're going to do that. We need to go get some other help. We're going to do that. They've tried to address some of this stuff. And I'm saying that to say I hope we get this draft right, man.
Right. Well, that's just it. I mean, the only other question I would have is Ryan Neusel is going to be your center? They do have the option. Obviously, you know, they've got the as a restricted free agent, they got first rights if somebody came at him. No one has, to our knowledge, come at him. So you got a guy that was pretty good filling in for Drew Dahlman last year. So that's about it. And then you go back to the draft and every mock draft. The latest one was Bucky Brooks I saw from NFL Network. And, oh, by the way, I meant to bring this up. I didn't have time in Guy Talk yesterday. USA Today had this article. They did an AI draft using, what is it now, the bots or the, what? I always forget my acronyms of my nicknames.
Oh, yeah, so it's ChatGPT.
Yes. They had us taking an offensive lineman, Carl. To give you an idea of just how completely clueless the computer program was.
Well, listen, a lot of people use
ChatGPT.
Yes, right. I'm getting these programs mixed up. But I know a lot of people do use it, Mike, but are we going to use it for the draft?
No. But this was just kind of fun. It was interesting to see just how far off the computer was. Some things they feel were making sense, but no, that would make no sense for us to grab an offensive
lineman. So what is this thing doing? It's basically just going in, accumulating all the information about the players, and then spitting out what it thinks.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, makes no sense. And that's why, again, I read this. I didn't bring it up yesterday because I read this USA Today article. By the time I got done reading it, I was like, I just wasted 3 minutes of my life.
For sure.
But as far as the guys who know football, Bucky Brooks has got a new mock draft. Our buddy Daniel Jeremiah. A lot of guys still have us, Carl. And maybe they don't know that we're closer to it, that perhaps we would go defensive back. I mean, we seem to be happy with Mike Hughes. That's a long way to go for a guy that would slot in as a nickel in just the first year in a season where the coaching staff is probably demanding for the most impactful player,
right? All right. So, for me, since you've gone there, I'm not being biased. Jahdae Barron out of the University of Texas, to me, is the best corner in this draft. But he can play safety. He can play nickel. Mikey runs 4-3. He just crushed it at the pro day. Falcons were there, by the way. And he is a guy that if you draft, not only can he help you right now, he can obviously slide over and become your long-term corner. It's between him and Will Johnson at Michigan that people are saying
those number one guy?
Those well
behind obviously.
Well, no, some people have him as the number one guy, some people have Barron as the number one guy.
Really?
It depends on who you talk to. So, but those two guys are going to be probably the first two corners taken off the board.
I just thought other than Travis Hunter?
Oh, Travis Hunter's in a different category.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
He's a top five pick. These guys are going to fall into the first round, but it's going to be assessed on need simply as cornerbacks or nickel guys or safeties. But he can play all three. And I'm bringing that up to simply say, if they did that, I would not be disappointed because we need that kind of player. And I know it wouldn't necessarily tickle the fancy of a lot of Falcon fans. Trust me, I still want to go edge, and I still think that should be the first pick off the board. And if you want to go corner with your second or third pick, Mike, again, it's a second and fourth. It's not a second and third as of right now. That is what we're looking at. But I'm just telling you, Barron is a player. He led the SEC in interceptions, 5 this year. He was a Jim Thorpe Award winner, All-American. Kid brings all
but
the intangibles.
Who gives you the most impact when he's on the – and, again, he'd be on the field in the nickel package. So, you know, potentially two out of three or three downs. I get it. But still, I mean, to invest in Mike Hughes, I'd have rather had them just let Mike Hughes go and draft that starting guy and spend that money on more impact up front. I know we've got Leonard Floyd. By the way, Bucky Brooks, I meant to finish the thought. He's got Jalen Walker going – I'm sorry. He has got – Jalen Walker going 9 to the Saints and us taking Shamar Stewart, who we've talked about from Texas A&M, the really massive defensive tackle who can move outside into 3-4.
All right, what do you guys think? Hit us up, man. We're gonna come back. We're going to talk with our buddy Mark Raimondi, who covers the Falcons next. We'll ask him about some of this stuff that we're getting into here. But right now, we want to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Ghost Skeletor World Tour. It's happening July 11th at State Farm Arena. Tickets on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com. Caller 6 is going to win these tickets to go see Ghost. You're a fan of Ghost? You can check them out. Again, tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We're live at Twin Peaks. We're coming back.
It's personal injury law.
Let's talk some Falcons football with our buddy Mark Raimondi, who covers the Falcons for ESPN. Mark, good to have you back on the show. We're trying to gear up for all the things that are going on with the Falcons, including the NFL draft. But we were just talking about this news of the Falcons bringing in potentially some competition for Younghoe Koo. What have you heard about that and Koo's situation? Is he going to be here? He's under contract, obviously. Is that something that we should be concerned about in the injuries that he had to deal with last year? Because he was inconsistent, to say the least.
Yeah, I think finding out that he was injured when he was going through some of those peaks and valleys, and you know, more valleys than he has been used to in his career, it was kind of illuminating, right? You know, we weren't sure at that point when he was missing those kicks, especially in the New Orleans game, right, at New Orleans, that he was injured. But then we find out that he was. So, you know, maybe that was why he was struggling at times as he was. But it seemed like in all of, like, the post, like, kind of the end of season news conferences with Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot, it seemed pretty clear they were going to bring in competition at the kicker position for Koo, and it seems like they have as an international guy, this German guy, Lenny Krieg.
Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we're live at Twin Peaks talking to our buddy Mark Raimondi here to get you caught up on all the things that are going on with the Falcons.
Yeah, man. I know that Lenny Krieg was part of that international competition where they get guys and give them a chance. Does he have a legitimate shot? And they even went to Koo to ask him to maybe restructure?
Certainly possible, and we don't know if he has a shot. It seems like he has a really big leg, right? Now, right. That could translate to success in the NFL. It has for some. It might not. So they'll probably give him a shot. You know, OTAs, you know, they'll bring him to camp, and they'll see what the kid has got. He's 22 years old. But I think Koo will be on the team, and I still think that he's the incumbent, and maybe not so bad to have a guy that could push him a little bit.
So, where are you at now with where we are on the calendar with the Cousins situation. We know he came out last week and said, hey, I'm not going to do anything, waive my no trade until after the draft. Trying to protect himself. We get that. But where are you at with where this potentially is going to go? And do you still think that Cleveland is the team that's in play, Mark?
I find it really interesting because if that is true, that report that he's going to wait for after the draft, it's like, if he wants out, right, what would be, I mean, I think at some point there has to be a realization that, look, he's guaranteed $100 million, right, from this contract, no matter what happens, pretty much. He is turning 37 years old later this year, right? Mm-hmm. At what point does he acknowledge the fact that, okay, he's good enough to play starting quarterback, but is he good enough and is he young enough to really be the guy that a team looks to for the next 3 to 5 years? I don't think so. Like, what team, you know, at this juncture in the NFL is going to say, Kirk Cousins, you're our quarterback of the present and of our future? I don't know if that team exists. So if he's waiting for that, you know, I'm not sure if he's going to find it. You guys get what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if there's team out there that, you know, sure. I think that a lot of teams might see him as a bridge quarterback and as a guy that could possibly, I mean, honestly, kind of like the Falcons did last year. Didn't work out, right? Didn't work out for them. But, you know, the best laid plan was him, you know, coming to Atlanta, starting for two, you know, 1 to 2 years and giving way to Michael Penix Jr. 2 years would be the ideal because that's kind of when the guaranteed money was gone on his contract. But, you know, at age 37, even if it's 2 years removed from the torn Achilles, is there a team that sees Kirk Cousins as their quarterback in 2026 and 2027 and 2028? I don't know.
It's our man Mark Grimondi, guys, from ESPN. I hate the fact that Kirk Cousins is keeping us or holding us hostage. You know, it seems like, you know, we're not going to get a draft pick, you could argue, before this draft, so we're screwed there.
Well, Mike,
is that accurate?
His team and Kirk himself, and I don't want to speak for them, but they probably feel like the Falcons are keeping him hostage. Like, they probably feel like, you know, they could have just released him before the $10 million bonus kicked in earlier this month, right? Mm-hmm. And then he could go and sign a veteran minimum deal with the team, you know, on any team would probably want Kirk Cousins for that.
Right.
You know, with Atlanta paying his salary and, you know, like Russell Wilson did in Pittsburgh this year where, you know, Denver was eating all that salary and Pittsburgh got a starting quarterback for, you know, a bargain basement price. So, but even then you look at Russell Wilson, you know, as I was saying before, it's like Pittsburgh has pretty much moved on from him, you know, so it's like he was a one-year guy who they thought, you know, who did fine. They went to the playoffs, but they didn't, you know, they didn't blow the doors off anyone, right? So I don't think that the team that sees Kirk Cousins at this juncture, especially after how he ended the last season, as their you know, as the guy that's going to be the cornerstone of their franchise as a quarterback for, you know, X amount of years.
But it just, I'm just saying that, you know, Kirk Cousins' demands, at least what was reported from the conversation by Albert Breer with Arthur Blank, is I want to go to a team where I'm going to start, and you're not going to have anybody over your shoulder. Anywhere he goes is going to be an heir apparent. They're going to draft somebody.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. At 37 years old, I think that, you know, it's a pipe dream to expect a team not to have a transition plan or a future plan. If that's the case, that's not a very good organization, right? That doesn't have any kind of a plan when you have a 37-year-old quarterback.
Yeah. And again, you know, the idea of what we did last year was crazy until now it doesn't look that way, and we've got at least something to lean on. Falcons have first-round pick, second-round pick, fourth-round, 7-7, right? What's your sense of us trying to collect a few more picks here? I mean, five sounds great, but two of those are seventh-round picks, right? You're really rolling the dice, which means your first, your second, and your fourth have to hit. I would love to get a few additional picks. Probably, Mark, the only way to do that is to move back in this draft. Do you think that the possibility of that is high? What's the number that you would put on that based on what you know right now as we're about a month away?
I don't think it's very high, and I think that's certainly something that the Falcons would love to do, and I think that's something that they're going to try to do. They're definitely going to make those calls to anyone in the back half of the first round, right? The problem is that I think that the Falcons see the draft like a lot of other teams see the draft, in that there's a lot of there's a depth of talent, and you might not be getting a better player at 15 than you would get at like 42. There's a lot of there's a lot of solid players in this draft. There's a lot of depth. There may not be a lot of, you know, future all first team all pro guys after, you know, the first few picks, but there is a lot of depth, especially where the Falcons need it, which is, you know, the front seven, edge rusher, defensive tackle, even corners. You'll probably get a decent guy in the second round. The problem is that every other team knows that too. So why would you try to trade up unless there's really someone? I mean, look, it's possible, guys. Let's say someone falls. It's the first night of the draft. Some stud player falls to 15. Then maybe a team from the second half of the first round might want to trade up to the Falcons and give them picks for it, you know, in the second and third round. That's possible. But as of right now, I think it's a little bit of a hard sell because a lot of teams are figuring, well, maybe I can get my guy at 28, the same level of guy that I might get at 15.
It's our man, guys, Mark Raimondi from ESPN.com. Join us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. So position-wise, we're all set. I asked Chris earlier with Carl about Ryan Neuzel. There's really been nothing with the center a position, so we just assume that at some point they're going to give him a slight raise from last year?
Yeah, I mean, he was a restricted free agent, so they tendered him. So I think his cap hit is like in the $3 million range right now. And as long as no other team comes in and, you know, the Falcons have the right to match, basically. So I would expect him to be on. I would expect him to kind of be the starting center, but they're going to bring someone in, I'm sure, at some point to compete with him, whether that's a free agent or maybe they draft someone in the fourth round or if they can get another pick, maybe they can draft someone, you know, to kind of be the center of the future. But, yeah, I think as of right now, Ryan Neuzel is probably the starting center for the Falcons.
Before we let you go, just a couple more things. Mark Raimondi, follow him, guys, on social media as well. I wanted to ask you about, you know, the offseason. Have you had a chance to talk to some of the guys this offseason? I know that you're working on a variety of stories, but I'm just curious because we really haven't heard, Mark, from a bunch of players about the situation and circumstances that are going on with this team. I know these guys have the offseason and it's their time to get away, but we're approaching the draft, and a lot of times, you know, you start to hear things from players who are being asked what they think the team should do or what they're doing or, you know, what they're doing this offseason. What's your take on guys kind of just staying away? And I know it is the offseason, but I find it interesting because of the Kirk Cousins situation. It's almost like nobody's talking.
Yeah, what I find interesting, and I have talked to a few guys, not necessarily on the record, right? I mean, I talked to a few of the guys, but you know, I think that there's a feeling that this is an offense that could be very good. I feel like that's something that the entire organization feels, and the players certainly feel that way. I think that they feel like this could be a very good, you know, a top 10 level of offense. And I think that there is obviously questions about the defense, but also some hope that, okay, maybe this was a schematic issue. Maybe it was a system issue with Jimmy Lake. And, you know, Jeff Ulbrich is a much more seasoned defensive coordinator. He's been the defensive coordinator for top five defenses. He's going to come in, even with maybe personnel that's not, you know, that's up average or above average. Maybe there's no star players outside of the Jesse Bates and the A.J. Terrell and so forth. Maybe his system will improve. And maybe some of the guys that they're bringing in who are not high-profile free agents like the Morgan Foxes of the world, right? Maybe those are guys that fit in the Divine Diablos. By the way, top 10, maybe top 5 all name team in the NFL, Divine Diablos. Maybe these are guys that fit in the Jeff Ulbrich scheme, what he wants to do, and that alone is going to allow them to be a better defense. And look, if they have an offense they hope they can have, and if they have a better defense, could be good enough to win the division, right? Because it's not an incredible division.
Just need the guys they drafted the last couple of years to step up on defense, basically.
100%. I mean, you need the Rucarorros, you need the Zach Harrisons, you need Arnold Ebiketie, who, you know, really he broke out toward the end of last year. If he can continue that, he'd be on like a double digit sack pace, right? If he played like he did the end of last year, again, he's got to do it. We you know, projections are one thing. He's got to do it, and that's what they got to hope for.
Mark, great stuff, man. We'll talk soon, brother. Appreciate you jumping in, and stay safe. We'll talk to you here in a few weeks as we get ready for the draft.
Thanks, guys.
All right, coming up, Frank Schwab's going to join us, Inside Coverage Podcast. He's the host for Yahoo Sports NFL. Mike, we'll go around the league and talk to him about this quarterback carousel.
You think there's any juice for this Aaron Rodgers to the Vikings?
We'll find out. Frank Schwab joins us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The
Let's find out what's going on around the NFL. There is a lot. We are live at Twin Peaks. Of course, this hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. Here's the deal, Mike. We've been talking a lot about the quarterbacks, and we bring on Frank Schwab. We love having Frank on the show, Inside Coverage Podcast, host for Yahoo Sports NFL. And Frank, part of the discussion is what's going to happen at the top of this draft. So we saw this week that the Giants, you know, they get Russ, they get Jameis, and everybody now is saying, okay, well, they're not going to draft a quarterback at three. There's no way it precludes them from drafting a quarterback, and in fact, I think they should. But is that quarterback Shedeur Sanders at three?
Yeah, that's a big question. I think there's many reasons to believe that not every team loves Shedeur Sanders. I like Shedeur Sanders. You know, I'm based out here in Colorado, so I've been, I've seen a lot of him. But teams do not have high grades on Shedeur Sanders. And are the Giants one of those teams that have him as a third, fourth round type of grade? Well, if that's the case, I don't know that you draft him third overall. But signing Jameis, signing Russ, allows you flexibility where you don't feel forced into it. If you do like him, let's say you do like Shedeur Sanders, absolutely you draft him. I mean, you're gonna stop your long term goals to placate Russell Wilson, who's 37 years old and looks pretty much at the end. So I totally agree with you that means nothing as far as their draft plans go. It's just adding another veteran to the room, albeit kind of expensive. I get that, but it just allows you some flexibility where you're not forced into a box where you have to draft a quarterback.
Did Deion Sanders make his statement because there is some bias against Shedeur that they might pull like a Manning family move when they try to move him from the Chargers to the Giants?
I don't know. I don't think Shedeur has that kind of leverage, to be honest.
Right.
Like, I guess at some point, everybody has that kind of leverage. You're not going to use a first-round pick on Shedeur Sanders and have him walk and demand a trade or whatever. But, you know, when Eli Manning did that, or John Elway did that way, way back in the day,
right?
Those guys were first overall picks. Like, and they were high-end prospects and all that kind of stuff. I don't think Shedeur's in that same pocket. But, you know, I love Deion. Like, Deion's fun. Deion's interesting. Deion's so charismatic. But I don't know that necessarily he has kind of the weight to pull this off the way he would like, maybe if he's serious, the way he would like to, because, like, again, so many teams are split on Shedeur Sanders as a player that this is, I just can't compare this to Eli Manning because Eli had kind of had all the cards as the number one guy in the draft.
And his dad. I mean, his dad had a lot of say at that point. I mean, they
absolutely
are the power family in the NFL.
But do you think, Carl, do you think, either way, Schwab, do you think that, like, there's a bias against Deion for his persona? Or is it more about the guy holds on to the football too long?
I think there's a – boy, there's a lot of layers unpacked there. I was really kind of annoyed by the narratives coming out of the combine. And we go through this every year, right? And – we allow these anonymous scouts and executives to just tee off on these 21-year-old guys who are just trying to make their way in professional football, just trying to get their career started. And you heard so much nonsense about Shedeur Sanders, like, oh, he's too confident. He's got too much swagger. Like, what are we doing here? And, I hate to bring this up, but I have to. Would we be talking about this if it was Shedeur Smith and he was white? Like, let's be honest. Like, it seems like a lot of these buzzwords were used because Shedeur Sanders is a confident black man. And it bothered me. It bothered me a lot because I think Shedeur Sanders, yes, he does have some flaws as a football player. He does hold the ball too long. He doesn't have the extreme arm talent of some of the Caleb Williams and those type of guys, or the extreme athleticism of Drake May or whatever. But he's a really good quarterback who's really accurate. And all of a sudden we're going to let these guys just tee off on Shedeur Sanders is too confident. Like, what? Like, what are we doing here? I don't like it. But I think at the end of the day, all that stuff is nonsense. And if the Browns or Giants or Raiders or whoever's picking high up in the draft looks at that guy and says, look what he did in the Big 12, lifting Colorado's program along with Travis Hunter and also his dad, I think he's a franchise quarterback. I think you draft him without any question.
I agree. 74%, I believe, completion percentage, 71, something of that nature. Led FBS.
Tough guy, and a tough guy, too.
Correct.
That's one thing, real quick. When you hold on to the ball too long, it's because you're tough. It's because you know, we've seen guys, Phillip Rivers or whoever, Ben Roethlisberger, when you hold on to the ball too long, it means you're getting your behind kicked sometimes. And I like that about Shedeur Sanders. He's willing to stand in there, take the hit to deliver an accurate pass more likely than not.
Let me ask you about Abdul Carter, because we need an edge rusher. We're talking with Frank Schraub, guys, covers NFL, the NFL for Yahoo Sports. He's not going to work out at his pro day. That came out. I think their pro day at Penn State is Friday. He didn't work out at the combine. Look, the tape doesn't lie. Kid showed up. I think he missed one game in his career at Penn State. But is he by far the next best player if you're going to not take Cam Ward? You know, because the Browns have that second pick. And we're talking about Abdul Carter. We need a guy. Now, I don't think the Falcons would make a move to go up to two or three to do this, but do you still have him at the top of this draft, regardless of the fact that he hasn't worked out and Drew Rosenhaus's agent said, well, he may do something in mid-April?
Yeah, I think it's funny because, I mean, we've seen guys do stuff similar to this. I mean, guys who sit out bowl games. Christian McCaffrey, I remember being kind of one of the first guys to just say, I'm not doing private workouts, guys. Like, if you don't want to draft me, fine. The tape is the tape. Like, go look at it. And if you're dumb enough to pass on Abdul Carter because he didn't, like, run a 40 for you, okay, you deserve what you get. Because to me, Abdul Carter is the best player in this draft. Like, and I don't honestly think it's all that close. Like, don't get me wrong. I really like Travis Hunter. I really like Genty. I even like Cam Ward. But Abdul Carter is the best player in this draft. And that's what makes it difficult, because if you're a team like the Browns, you need a quarterback somehow, some way. You ain't got one. So what do you do? Do you draft Shedeur if you like him? Or do you just say, you know what, Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett, that's a pretty good start for us, and we'll figure out the rest as we go. Because I do think Abdul Carter is the best player in the draft, and I think we get so caught up with the workout stuff. Yeah, you want it to reinforce what you've seen on tape, but if you're drafting dudes based on their combine workout or their pro day workout, you're doing it wrong anyway. So, yeah. To me, in my opinion, hasn't changed at all about Abdul Carter.
Carl, let's reset. Talking like a Cleveland radio host who thought Dallas was trading Dak. Joined now by Frank Schraub, Inside Coverage podcast host for Yahoo Sports NFL, here on Dukes of Bell Live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Hey, man, what about somebody coming up for Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe, or is it still just going to be two quarterbacks in this first round?
Yeah, and I mean, that's the interesting thing. I'm torn on it because, A, there's such desperation at quarterback. I mean, what are the Pittsburgh Steelers going to do, for one example, right? Like, what are the Cleveland Browns going to do? What are the Raiders going to do beyond this year, or, you know, next year or two with Geno? So desperation always forces guys to get moved up the board, but if we're sitting here looking at these top two guys and saying, Cam Ward's not a slam dunk number one overall prospect. He's going to go number one, I think, but he's not one of these Caleb Williams-type prospects, right? And then we're looking at Shedeur and saying some teams have a third, fourth round grade on him. Does that, like, are you that excited then about Jackson Dart? You know, are you that excited about Milroe or the kid from Louisville or wherever you want to go? And I think the answer is got to be no, but do one of these teams just do it because, hey, we need a quarterback. We need to throw some darts. No pun intended there. So really interested to see what happens because I don't really love any of these quarterbacks beyond Shedeur. And I don't even love Shedeur. I think Shedeur could be a good player. I don't love him by any means. And once you get past Shedeur, it's like, okay, now this is too rich for my blood if you're talking about first round. I wouldn't do it, but again, these teams are so desperate at quarterback. And, like, again, let's say Aaron Rodgers says no to the Steelers. What are they going to do? What other choice do they have but hope that Jalen Milroe is the answer?
Let me ask you, Frank, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, what's taking so long? Is it because he has options with Minnesota, or is it because he's just making us wait to talk about Aaron Rodgers because he likes to be talked about? There's no reason that he has to wait. He could have made this decision 2 weeks ago, but yet here we are, and we may be here after the draft.
Yeah, nothing's going to change with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, I mean, your decision is either yes or no at this point. So I think it's a lot of Aaron Rodgers just being Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about him, right? Like, he enjoys it. Like, there's no questioning that. Like, this is kind of who Aaron is. I do think there's something else on the table, though. And I think it's that Aaron Rodgers is looking around, and if he doesn't love the Steelers, and look, if he loved the Steelers, he was fine there already. So I think it's fair to say he does not love the Steelers. He might be just sitting there saying, what if a team loses its quarterback in September or October? All of a sudden, I'm the belle of the ball. I'm the guy everybody's calling.
Let's say, and I'm not wishing this upon anybody, right? Let's say the San Francisco 49ers are 5-1 in October and Brock Purdy suffers a season-ending injury. You know who the first call is going to be to? It's going to be Aaron Rodgers. Let's say J.J. McCarthy gets hurt in September. The Minnesota Vikings are going to pick up the phone to Aaron Rodgers. So he might be looking at it from that aspect of, I don't need to sign right now. I'm going to land somewhere during the season. It's not going to be ideal, but I don't love the Steelers situation. There's nothing else out there for me. I'm just going to wait this thing out and see what happens in September or October. I just have this feeling like we're far from a conclusion here because, again, if Aaron Rodgers wanted to sign with the Steelers, it would have happened already.
Yeah.
Right.
Ego. And Frank, it's just, you know, as we said, there's a pecking order. Now that Russell's in there with the Giants, whatever they're going to do, you know, when and is there any scenario in your mind that would get Kirk Cousins off our roster by this draft? Seems like we're screwed. And as my partner Carl's been saying, it's always going to be a post-June kind of waiting for one of those things to happen. So we've been discussing how awkward it will be to have, you know, Kirk Cousins on our team when the preseason and then the season begins. Do you see any scenarios where that's actually going to happen?
Right, and it might have been even with you guys. I seem to remember us talking about this like a month ago and me laughing and being like, oh, haha, yeah, of course Kirk Cousins is going to be on the roster because somebody's going to pay him $10 million bonus. And then he did it. And so it threw me for a loop, I'll tell you that. I didn't see that coming. But I think, look, I'll give the Falcons credit for this. They've looked at the entire quarterback situation the past couple of years very unconventionally. They said, you know what? Everybody does it this way. We're going to do it another way. And, yes, you're right. Like, I think the mindset is it's awkward to have these two guys in the same quarterback room. I think the Falcons are saying we don't care, but whatever. Michael Penix has an injury history. We've seen Michael Penix start, what, 3 games? Like, he was good, and I like Michael Penix. You don't know that he's, you know, that surefire he's going to be the man for the next 10 years. I know Atlanta hopes so, and there were some signs that he will be, but you don't know that. So I think the Falcons are looking at this saying, all right, we're paying this much money for our 2 quarterbacks. Well, if our starter was making this much and our backup was making this much, nobody would even talk about it. So who cares? We're not going into the season without a proven backup. Now, if the Steelers want to pick up the phone and offer a draft pick where the Falcons are like, okay, now it's worth it, sure, go ahead. But I don't think the Falcons are giving them away. I've been completely did a 180. I came into this thing saying, I think the Falcons, there's no chance at all the Falcons are serious about this. Now I think they're very serious about it and saying, we're not giving away Kirk Cousins because backup quarterback is a valuable position and we already have sunk $90 million into him, so what's the difference in sinking $100 million into
it? Right, and that's kind of what we've thought all along. It's good to have you, Frank. Appreciate you stopping by. Check out Frank Schwab, guys. Again, he writes for Yahoo and covers the NFL. Does a great podcast as well. We'll talk soon, man. A lot of stuff is going to change between now and the draft, and hopefully it involves the Falcons.
Always does. Yes, always appreciate being on with you guys.
Absolutely. All right. We've got a lot more to get to in the 6 o'clock hour. Mike and I had a great conversation with John Smoltz. The Hall of Famer stopped by earlier in the show. It is opening day. Had a lot of good things to say about the Braves who are out in San Diego. You'll hear our conversation coming up. Also, the Sweet 16 begins today. And, Mike, when we come back at the 6 o'clock hour, we got to talk about it because it's going to go down, part of it, the regional here in our city. But it starts a little bit after 7 tonight. We're your home for the NCAA tournament. Tonight we have Hawks basketball. Tournament is on our sister station, WAOK. But we got to get into some of these matchups. And I got to tell you, Tom Izzo's in town. Do not discount Michigan State. I'm going to tell you why.
Ah, nonsense.